Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
There we go. It's great to see everyone here this morning. Praise be to God for His church. Amen. Amen. So grateful that we can be together in this assembly. And even though we are in two different states, though not far, I didn't realize how close we were to the state line. But even though we are in two different states, even though we are in two different buildings, we are the people of God. And God has made us one. So grateful for the unity that God has given us in His people. In the last lesson, we went over the values and qualities of the two oldest generations. In it, we found the foundations of what we see in our culture, but more importantly for our purposes, what we see in the church. We see teamwork. We see a fighting spirit. We see even submissiveness, especially in the church. And we see practical action. That's our foundations that we see because of the two oldest generations. Now, as we come to the next two generations, we will see some major shifts of culture and trends and in mentality. But from them, we still find attitudes that can aid the church in its growth. These generations are the baby boomers and Gen X. And if they are not already the current leaders, they are soon to become so among God's people. They are right now the leaders and the majority of workers within the American workforce, and so we can see that it is the same even in the church. So as we first come to the baby boomers, the baby boomer generation, this is anyone born between the years 1946 and 1960. So by a show of hands, by that definition, who would fall into that category? All right, so that is about a third of the population. It might have changed now because Gen Z, the latest generation, the youngest generation, they're quickly catching up to the baby boomers on how many there are. By their natural name, you can tell why they have that name. They are a huge generation. And so it started in 1946, and I apologize, I gave you the wrong dates earlier. It started in 1946 because 1945 and 1946 was the end of World War II. And so, naturally, when the soldiers came home, they're ready to start their families. And thus began the baby boom. And so pictures like this were very common in this time period, just thousands of babies coming around, millions of babies coming around, and I believe it's somewhere between 70 and 80 million baby boomers in this generation. Again, a third of the population. Every third person you meet is a member of the baby boom. Now, as they came of age, and they would have been coming of age during the 1960s, they were the prodigy of the 1960s, if you will. And then going into even the early 1980s, probably more accurately the 60s and the 70s specifically. And I'll go ahead and throw this out there as well. Human events is what makes a generation what it is. It's not a specific, here's 20 years necessarily. But human events is what shapes a generation. So the baby boom started because all the soldiers are coming home and now they have a lot of kids. It ended in 1960 because 1960 was the year they came out with the birth control pill. Therefore, no more babies. And we'll talk about Gen X here in just a moment. But human events shaped that generation that you have, that it is in this set period of time that the baby boom took place. And so, in which case, we had talked about earlier, that would actually put you, Mr. Sater, later on in a generation, and my parents as well. Some people put this as far as 1964. But generally speaking, I think 1946 to 1960 is a good characteristic years. Now, as opposed to their golden parents, every institution that they built, the boomers wanted to tear down. And we can think of that as we think about the 60s especially. You think about that it was going entirely against the system. Everything was change at all times. And so now everything that was built by the GI parents is being torn down by their baby boomer children. They take individualistic charge and think of themselves not as the greatest generation, but the only generation. In fact, the way baby boomers think of themselves is no one really understands what it means to be a certain age until a baby boomer comes along and explains it for them. And so it is why this is commonly understood as the me generation. So you probably heard that phrase, they're very individualistic. But again, we're going to focus on the positive benefits of that here in just a moment. But they were very much individual focused. And so they look to themselves for a lot of the answers. I don't need anyone. I got me and I know what's best, is the way that they thought when they were coming of age. And so as we consider this generation, it's interesting because a shift took place once they hit the age of 30. I don't know if you remember this. I don't, but I've seen it. But I don't know if you remember this, but whenever the baby boomers started coming of age, a common catchphrase that they would say is, don't trust anyone over the age of 30. You perhaps remember that? And so, in which case, they started the sexual revolution, being under 30 themselves. They were the ones that started the sexual revolution. Well, something had to happen whenever they turned 30. And so, in which case, now it's basically don't trust anyone under the age of 30. And so, there was a shift that took place that they went from change the system entirely to becoming a very moralistic generation. That they were very intent and focused on values. Now, the baby boomers, they don't see that as hypocrisy. They see that as maturing and coming of age. And so they think of this as that now we want to be right. And so they saw that their past actions that took place in the early 60s and into the mid and late 60s, they saw that that didn't really work. And there were some problems that took place there. And now that we've hit the age of 30 and we're becoming more mature, we realize morals are in fact important. And so in which case they came into that time. And again, it comes down to that they had an innate desire to want to be right. They want to be right. We'll talk about that here in just a moment. And so they search for meaning and values in every stage of life. Today, they are assertive visionaries, but they've always been assertive visionaries. They know what they want and they go after it. And they know that there is something that this country and these people can do better than previous generations. That's how they feel about it. And so they are visionaries. They look to the future and they look for ways that they can make things better and change. Politically, they were weak, but culturally, they were giants. And I think we can see that as we consider the 60s and 70s as these people were coming of age. They reinvented everything. And so as they became a consistently larger and larger generation, that desire for change, that desire for something better continued to grow. And so as we consider church benefits of this generation, work ethic. As they become a more moralistic generation in their later years, we've seen the boomer generation grow in a desire to work hard. We were kind of talking about that this morning at the breakfast table. They prepare for a job more than is really actually needed, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but they prepare for a job more than's really needed. In fact, they want to keep on working. Guess what? Baby boomers are getting to retirement age if they're not already there. And guess what? Nobody's retiring. They want to keep on working. They think, I got a lot of life left in me. And part of that is because the boomer generation has been shown medically that it will probably be the longest living generation in recent history. And so medicine and health has gotten so much better over the course of the boomer's lifetime that they're going to keep on aging whenever we think that they should be long gone. And so in which case, they understand that the energy that they now possess is still there, that they want to keep on working. So as we consider church benefits, this is certainly exciting, because we have here people that want to continue working. They're not the type of Christians that whenever they reach retirement age, they think that they retire from Christianity. They're not the type of Christians that they think that whenever they've come into their 70s even, whenever they've come to that age, that, well, I've done my time and I've done good, so I'm done. They're not going to stop. They're hard workers. And we can understand the glory that happens in the church when we have these type of people. They have such a high work ethic. And so, brethren, let me encourage us. This is the perfect time to get a lot of work done in the church, because these people are either the majority of our elders or they're about to become so. And these people are the leaders among God's people, and they want to get to work. Can I encourage us, let's get on board with the boomers. They're ready to go. Let's go with them. And so we consider some passages like Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 through 24. This is the type of attitude that we see with the boomers. Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. A familiar passage to us, I believe. It says here, whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. And then we consider as well Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. The boomers are wanting to be, and currently are, hard workers. And along with understanding their hard work ethic, they also, once again, as we noticed before, are visionaries. They look ahead to the future and they expect the best of people. And so it reminds me of Philemon chapter, chapter 1, but verse 21, where you find there that he says, I am confident that you will not only do this, but you will do even more than what I say. I think of the boomers when I think of that passage. Because they are visionaries, they look to the future and they think, what can be done in the church? And if I know what can be done, then I'm going to work hard to get it. I'm going to work hard so that we can accomplish amazing things. They seek growth. And as well, remember, boomers have a very individualistic outlook. Not necessarily a wrong thing, because we need to look to ourselves, and we'll talk about that here in maybe today or tomorrow, or today or tonight. But what we see is that they always have thought that they have something important to tell others. That's a great quality whenever they're coming into their older years, because they desire to mentor. I consider, for instance, one of the members of our congregation, and actually it is one of your family members, Ken Hopper, a relative of the Disselcamps. And as I consider him, he was converted just a couple of years ago. And he has an outstanding woodworking shop. And he does fantastic work. He's even gotten to the point that he has done this thing called Lichtenberg. Is that what it's called, Carrie? Lichtenberg technique. And what it is you put water across a board and you put two electrical charges on either side of the board. And it goes across and it makes almost this just burnt tree look across the top. And it's just beautiful and fantastic work that he does. And I kind of had a little bit of an interest in woodworking, so I wanted to learn a little bit more, and he was right there. He wanted to show me. Guess what? He's a baby boomer. He wanted to show me, here's how I do it, here's how you can do it, here's the tools that you need. And guess what? The boomers in the church are wanting to do the same thing spiritually. They want to help the younger generations. And we'll see tonight how the younger generations receive that. But they want to help the generations that are following. Because they know that even though they are in good health, even though they understand that they are still able to work hard, they are in the second half of their life. And it won't be long before they are gone. And they want to pass down the information that they have. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. But as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. And notice this. Older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, and in perseverance. Now, it's actually what he says to the women that I see that the boomers are wanting to do. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in their behavior. Not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good. So that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. We see here a mentality that we, and especially our older generations, ought to desire to help teach the generation to come. It is not only what the boomers desire, but boomers, it is your obligation according to the Lord. And I think you understand that. I think you see that. That you want to help the church to grow. In regard to evangelism, some things to maybe focus on. Focus on words like, would you like to study? They love that word, study. And the reason why is because they have such a high work ethic and they hear that word and they think, there's a challenge there. They love a challenge. They want to work hard in that challenge because it causes them to grow as well. Appeal to their desire to be right, which there's nothing wrong with morally. Wanting to be right. Appeal to that desire. Show them that the Bible is the way that they can individually be right with God. And that they might have that visionary future hope of heaven. This is perhaps some ways, and perhaps you can think of others, that help the baby boomer come to Christ. Generation X. Kind of a no-name name. Doesn't necessarily seem to mean anything. It's just Gen X, okay? What are you trying to say there? There's a reason for that, and we'll talk about that here in just a moment. But these are people that are born between the years 1961 and 1980. Who would fit into that cohort or demographic? Okay, so we have several here as well. So the reason why it's called just Gen X, kind of a no-name name, is for the reason of another name that it was given. It was given the name the 13th generation for two reasons. One, because it is literally the 13th generation in American history. And so as you go back to the generation of like the George Washingtons and all of them, you then go through and you see that there's been 13 generations and that lands on Gen X. Also, because they were kind of a very unlucky generation. And in essence, Gen X was born into an America that gave them a collective sense of doom for themselves. And so when you think about Gen X, you have that they, in essence, whenever you ask a Gen Xer, now these qualities they say are about you, and you talk to them about that, do you think you fit that? Oh, no, 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 no. most Gen Xers will say this. Oh, no, that's not me. I don't fit in that generation. I was a part of a good family. So that is typically the only way that you can escape from this collective sense of doom is if you disassociate yourself with the generation entirely. That's how they think about themselves. And so they were very underprotected as children. So you had that the pill, once again, came into existence in 1960. Therefore, baby bust happened, which is another name that was given to them. Not a lot more kids any longer. In fact, about only 14% versus the 33% the boomers were at. 14% of people in America are Gen Xers. So that tells you the decline drastically in how many of these kids were actually born. Again, they were very underprotected as children. They grew up in an America where the broken homes and divorce rate was higher than any other time in American history. So you have the divorce rate climbing, and so they are the children of these divorce rates. And so again, they were called the baby buster generation. And just to give you a picture here, these are the kids of Gen X. Now let me tell you a couple of things that were very common. A very common phrase in this time for the parents of Gen X, and this would have been the silent generation, would primarily be the Gen X parents. They said phrases like, none is fun. Talking about kids. None is fun. Or how about this one? They had little, at conventions, they had little, what do you call those things? Not lapel pin, the little buttons. Yeah, the little sticker buttons. They had those on their lapel that said, Jesus was an only child. So that's how they thought about kids, is that they were kids that you didn't want a lot of them. And so what you see there is almost an anti-children mentality from the silent generation to their Gen X children. Children, in their minds, the silent generation, they thought of the Gen X kids as being spoiled. They thought of them as being evil or just tough kids. Kids that you don't want to hug. You don't want to hug these children. And so whenever they thought of kids, think of the movies that came out in this time. Willy Wonka. You look at those kids. And these are their parents that are making these movies about their children. When they see these kids, you're thinking like The Breakfast Club. You're thinking of movies like Willy Wonka. These kids are spoiled brats. And that's how they thought of their children, Gen X. And if they weren't tough or kids that you didn't want to hug, if they weren't spoiled, they thought of them as downright evil. And so guess what? This was when The Exorcist came out. And so they thought about children as being almost demon-possessed, is how they thought of Gen X kids. Now, I'm giving this, again, collective sense of doom for just a moment to help us understand where they came out of that. But you had that not a lot of Disney movies were made during this time, so you didn't have children getting this nice, fluffy atmosphere for them. Parents let them take care of themselves, a latchkey kid. Was a Gen Xer, and you ask, in fact, we were playing a game called Taboo. I don't know if you're familiar with that game, but you're trying to get people to guess the word at the top of the card. And whenever you're trying to get them to guess, one of them that came up for me was Latchkey Kid. 5 years ago, whenever we played that game, I had no idea what that was. But perhaps you're very familiar with that, that the kid just goes up, opens up the door, and he takes care of himself for the remainder of the day even, perhaps. The best family vehicle, the most advertised family vehicle, was not the minivan. It was the station wagon. And the reason why? They actually have pictures during this time that the parents get to sit in the front seat, and you get to put the kids all the way in the back of the station wagon. And so, this is how they grew up. And so they had difficulty trusting organization and authority because as adults, they became very disliked as well. People didn't stop not liking Gen X, it seemed. They did not get involved in civic duty or politics unless it was a one-on-one thing. They like to talk one-on-one when it talks to politics and civil duty. The system, in their minds, is unnecessary. Not that it's bad, but it's just unnecessary. Don't need it. We can get along fine. Strip everything down to what is essential, is how a Gen Xer thinks. Being financially well off was more important to them than having a philosophical meaning to life, which was very different than the generation before, the baby boomers, who thought that a philosophical meaning of life was the most important, and financial success, you know, it's okay, but it's not the greatest thing in the world. It made a drastic one-to-one switch between those two generations. Do more for less is something they might say. A means to an end is what their job is, not the end in and of itself. They have the highest business and financial ability than any generation of the last century because of their thinking on financial success. Revived economic productivity built up what the GIs had built and the boomers had torn down. Yet, they don't want to draw attention to themselves. Now remember, they were seen as the kids who were just downright brats. And so that's how their parents treated them. And so because of that, they have high self-reliance and they have high resilience. They can take a hit. They do not draw attention to themselves for accomplishments. In fact, one of the key phrases that you might hear from a Gen Xer, let me put this out to you. My mom, she would be born in the Gen X generation. And that's why I said my dates were a little off earlier today. And so she actually would be in the Gen X generation. And so whenever I would sometimes tell her, hey, mom, love you, which is a very millennial thing to say in general. But you say, hey, mom, I love you. Her response would sometimes just simply be, whatever. So it's not that she didn't love me. She was just kidding. But that's very much a Gen X thing to say is whatever. You know, if someone comes up to you and slaps you on the cheek, you know, you don't necessarily turn the right cheek to them, but you're just like, okay. And you go with the flow. You get on with your life. It's not a big deal to you. And so in which case, because of that resilience, the people that were in the Twin Towers at 9/11 were Gen Xers. Whenever people talked about America being such a resilient nation, they were talking about the workforce of the Gen Xers. They were talking about these people that they were ready to stand no matter what. They were the ones who were the resilient of our nation at the time. So as we consider that, let's consider some of the church benefits. For one, they are productive. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, I'll back up in verse 14 while you're turning there. It says, remind them of these things and solemnly charge them in the presence of God not to wrangle about words, which is useless and leads to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. They have a strong desire to get things done and throw away the fluff. The fluff is just a distraction. Let's get to work, is how they think. And so, especially as the boomers are desiring to plan with hard work, these Gen Xers must be the legs to get it done. The boomers want to work. Now we have the Gen Xers that they are productive in the work that they do. They are also self-reliant. I think this passage is an exact idea of how a Gen Xer thinks of themselves. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. Galatians chapter 6, 1 through 5, and what they can do in the church. Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to any other. For each one will bear his own load. Gen Xers take individual responsibility seriously. We need these. We need these people because they are going to be the ones that are going to be the admonishers. They can help other Christians when they lack in diligence. They will be the admonishers to others to get in there and do what needs to be done. Quit with the fluff. They're ready to help others get to work. And especially they are good admonishers because they love that one-to-one interaction. And finally, they are resilient. They can take a hit. As we've probably heard preachers talk about for the last 20 years, and we'll talk about it later on in the week as well. Brethren, I think that there is probably going to be a harsh persecution in America in the 21st century. I don't think the days are too far around the corner. And preachers have been saying that for the last 20 years as well, that it seems to be the way that decisions are being made in our country, that it will not be long before Christians are harshly persecuted. We need the leadership of resilience. We need the Gen Xers. Because when that persecution and conflict does come, they will be the ones to stand the front line. They will be the ones that will take the hits. They will be the ones that are the leaders. Some of them have already started to become the elders of the congregation, but at least they are deacons at this time. But what you find is that they are ready to take on conflict. Which I'll tell you, as a millennial, means a lot. Because my generation does not like conflict. We need the Gen Xers to help us when that conflict does come. We need resilience in the church. As far as evangelism is concerned, approach them on a one-on-one basis. Because this is what they prefer anyway when it comes to any change that they want to make or any change they want to make politically or culturally. And so, as well, as far as spiritually goes, if they want to make any change, you need to talk to them one-on-one. Get down to a study with them and talk to them personally so that they can see this is what you need to do individually. Again, individual responsibility is huge to them. Get to the basics. Take away the fluff and which is just going to get in the way in their minds, and be focused, and focus on what they can accomplish, what can be accomplished in the church, because they want to be productive. They want to work hard and just get the job done, putting all the distractions to the side. Interestingly enough, sounds a little bit like their parents, the silence in that regard. As we consider some of these things, as we consider the baby boomers who are wanting to get to work and they want to help others to understand what the gospel is all about, and as we have Gen Xers who are coming up as well, that they understand what it means to go through conflict and they understand that going to become a Christian is going to take some risk even. Because of these things that we are understanding about the church, if you have fallen and you need the help of the saints, because you have decided to push off individual responsibility, or you have decided that the work of the Lord is not that important to me and I'm just going to do my own thing. If that has been your mentality that has changed, then you need to repent and you need to give your whole heart to God. And if you have not become a Christian, if you have not become a Christian, today is the day of salvation. You need to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, changing your life. Maybe not necessarily changing your values as far as your qualities and personality goes, Your personality is still going to be intact, but your heart is going to make a total change because it's going to be given to Jesus. If you need to give your life to Him today, obeying Him in baptism, the front pew has been opened for you. Come forward as we stand and sing.